Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. Is it a special... It is a special weekend, isn't it? It's the first weekend after the restrictions were lifted. So there's now inter-county travel. People would have been working all week, and if they wanted to, now they can travel outside of their county and visit and hug, if that's okay, if people are vaccinated. So I suppose it is a special weekend. It's not a long weekend or a bank holiday weekend, but it is a special weekend for some people. And speaking of travelling, Deborah Naylor, she's a journalist with Virgin Media. I love this sort of, it can only happen in Ireland. She says, my husband rang me in a panic this morning as he left his wallet on the bonnet of the car while loading it. Drove off and didn't realise it until he was in Clare. It has just been returned by a lady who spotted it on the road. Battered, but everything's still in it. People are lovely. Indeed they are. And there's a picture there of the wallet, and it's been run over and run over again and run over again. But Deborah's husband has got it back. It's you see it, don't you? And particularly, I think a lot of people do with drinks when they come out of restaurants, takeaway restaurants. They, you know, they get the kids in, whatever. Then they put the chips and whatever else they're having in. They would have left the drinks on the top of the car. I've seen that a number of times. And then they get in, they drive off, and they balance there for a while, and then eventually they fall off. And when they get home, they go, where did the drinks go? Yeah, just on the weekend, it's good news. We all like things for free, don't we? Well, the OPW have announced that heritage sites have waived their admission fees for the rest of the year. That's good news. It's something for nothing. Something for nothing, yeah. And it's obviously to give the tourism industry a shot in the arm. So now if you rock up to the Rock of Cashel, you get in for free. If you kick on down to Kilkenny Castle, I shouldn't have started this because I won't be able to continue. Anyway, Kilkenny Castle is free, Kilmainham Jail free, Castledown House free, Rathfarnham Castle free, Ormond Castle free. Any of those attractions that you had to pay in who were under the auspices of the OPW are free for the rest of the year. And there's one for everybody. Yes. Yeah, so that's good news. Minister of State Patrick O'Donovan announced it. I'd say he enjoyed doing that. As a politician, it's good to have the old good announcements, isn't it? Yeah. You know that Friends, there's a Friends reunion. And they've just announced overnight who the guest stars are in the Friends reunion. Lady Gaga, David Beckham and Malala Yousafzai. Yeah, that Malala Yousafzai, the amazing woman who was shot because she was getting herself educated and now has become a spokesperson for disadvantaged young women all over the world. Amazing book. Her book's just amazing. Anyway, she's featuring there as well. I think the link is that was she born just when they stopped around that time? There's some sort of chronological connection anyway. That's why she's featured. So that's on the way. The other Friends story is that Lego are now, you can now buy the Friends apartment in Lego. I kid you not. I love saying that. I kid you not. So if you're watching endless reruns of Friends on the telly and you know them off by heart and you want something else to do while you're watching it, you could get yourself the Lego kit and build the apartment while you're watching the telly programme and listen to the CD at the same time of somebody pouring out Lego bricks onto the floor. And you'd be completely immersed then in Friends and Lego, if that's what you like. Justine Stafford, she reached the final of Stand Up and Be Funny. And she's very funny and she's very prolific online. She produces videos on a regular basis. And her latest video is something playing with the names of restaurants and takeaways around the country. And she's looking for Ireland's funniest takeaway name. So she put up Titanic in Belfast, which is a Thai restaurant. T-H-A-I. Get it? Yeah, very good. Facebook, as opposed to Facebook in Cork. And this is my favourite, Delicious Kebabs in County Leash. See, it's D-L-A-O-I-S-I-O-U-S. Delicious Kebabs in County Leash. And any more, please, 51551. We'll have a bit of fun with that. Just to warn you, it's 2015 on Reeling in the Years this Sunday. That was a big year. In January of that year, there was a red alert, red weather warning by Met Éireann because Storm Rachel struck the country. The air code was introduced July in 2015. But the biggest news, I suppose, was that we voted on the constitutional referendum to legalise same-sex marriage. And we voted yes. And that was announced on the 22nd of May. And we were the first country in the world to hold a plebiscite when it came to same-sex marriage. And we voted yes. And that was a joyous day, a glorious day, particularly for people who've been involved in the gay community for a long time, like David Norris. And he was there at Dublin Castle on the 22nd of May. It was a Friday. The sun was shining. And he was there when the announcement of the vote took place. And he was very emotional, as you would imagine.
Well, I'm very proud to be Irish. I mean, gay people are a small minority, about 10%. We've been brought on board as equal citizens by the generosity and decency of our straight fellow citizens. And for that, I am deeply, deeply grateful.
Votes in favour of the proposal, 1,201,600.
Yo! It was a great year for music as well. This is that ice cold Michelle, fight for that white gold. That was the best-selling single worldwide, I think, that year. This was also a big seller. The Weeknd.
And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come.
And we as a country introduced the world to a new star.
My lover's got humor. She's the giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval. I should have worshipped her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak. A fresh poison each week.
Yeah, that song had been released in Ireland and done well, but in 2014. But then in 2015, it became a global hit. A global hit. So that's just a little taster, a little amuse-bouche, is that what they call them, for reeling in the ears, which is on, as you know, 8:30 on Sunday evenings. And the theme tune is gone, is it? Oh, there it is. Oh, there it is. There it is. There, yeah, yeah, there, yeah, there you go. There you go. Sounds like we're the official radio partner. We're not. We just like to tell you about these things. The other thing that's happening over the weekend is back to Barrytown. And you would have heard about this. It's been heavily promoted across all platforms. And it's looking back at the three Roddy Doyle books that were turned into three movies. The Commitments, The Snapper and The Van. And the first of, I think, three documentaries. Sunday evening after news at 9:30. Oh, that's The Commitments there and Treat It Right. We might play that in its entirety before the end of the programme if we have time. If we have time. A lot to get through today. Pauline McLean is coming back. Look, the phone's just gone off. First appointment, Raymond Darcy. There you go. I'm in. First appointment. Just they must have known I was on air. That's lovely. Quarter to nine in the morning on a Sunday. Come on, lads. That's not fair. Sure, be delighted. There you go, that's that. Now, let's see what you're saying. 51551 RadRT.ie. That happened to me in Dingle with my camera. I left it on the top of the car, got it back a week later. Lovely people, those Dinglets. Is that what they call them? Hello to Geraldine in Annascaul, who coordinated the retrieval of my camera. 'Twas a miracle. Miss you, Dingle. See you soon, says Helen. I went to post a letter recently in Wexford Town. Well, I lost it between the house and the post office. I did retrace my steps, but no sign of it. It arrived to its address with a note on the rear. Found this on the street, so I posted it. So, thank you, whoever found it. That was very good of you. And I did the same thing, wallet on the roof of the car. I'm 90% sure that's where I put it, but I never got it back. Between the keys and the wallet and the mask and the hand sanitizer, the takeaway, the milkshakes, the wallet, the sunglasses, something has got to give, Ray. And the more things you have to remember, and the more new things that you're doing, the more likely you are to forget something. If you're going about your daily business and you're doing what you always do, you know, whether it's going to work or dropping the kids to school or whatever it is, and you have the routine, that's fine because the brain is on nearly autopilot, and then you have brain power to deal with all the other stuff. But say, for example, you're loading the car to go on holidays and you have to think about, you know, the dog and the children and what we're going to do if we're going to go swimming, and then if we're going to go for a picnic, and does anybody need medication from the thing, and da-da-da-da-da, then you're likely to lose the keys or leave something on the boot, on the bonnet of the car or whatever. That's what happens. That's the way the brain works. I've just been called for my vaccine on Sunday as well. Happy days. I might see you there. Oh no, you're in Mayo. Sorry, I'm in Dublin. So that's good news, isn't it? Now, our quiz of today, I'll tell you about this, and then we're gonna go live to Brian Kennedy's kitchen. Take two, if you like. But first... Yes, our quiz of today, the 14th of May. We've cobbled together 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the years. And we have a prize from the Castleknock Hotel. They want us to tell you about their missed moments packages. A chance for you to celebrate all those things you may have missed last year, birthdays, anniversaries, date nights. And in the package, they include balloons and bubbles and cake. You can find out more at castleknockhotel.com. For our winner today, it's a two-night stay with all the balloons and the bubbles and the cake and one dinner and breakfast and all that. So if you want to be involved, we're looking for two people after 4 o'clock to come on and answer 5 questions each. Here is your qualifying question. In which Irish county would you find the town of Roscrea? In which Irish county would you find the town of Roscrea? 1850-715-900. That's 1850-715-900. Good luck with that. Now, fingers crossed, anything else you might have? Because I'm going to say, hello, Brian Kennedy.
Ray Darcy.
You're coming in loudly and clearly.
Oh, very good. I'm glad to hear that. How are you?
If I could sing, I'd be dangerous. Yeah, I'm good. You can sing and you are dangerous. Yeah, we just for people who weren't tuned in last Friday, we attempted to do this last week and we failed. But...
Yeah, we didn't get where we wanted to be. Let's just say that. But, you know, we're back now. I'm here. Yes. You know, I thank God you sent over the lovely Niamh.
Yes.
Who's sitting here with a lovely mask on, making sure everything works. So it's all good.
Yeah. And you have your guitar there?
I do, on my lap. Yes. We're in my music room, really, which is right next to the kitchen.
Right.
I have a piano in here. I have some all kinds of little kind of memorabilia things.
Yes.
But most importantly, my guitars are in here, which is where I do my little bits of writing and everything.
I know that you have guitars hung on your wall because I've seen you do a video with Boy George.
That's right. And I filmed my part in here. We did a song together on his record called Things Are Going to Change, another prophetic song of his. So yeah, I shot my part here. And in fact, I sang my live vocal into my computer, and that's what you hear in the record.
Right. Sounds great. Yeah.
Does sound really good, doesn't it?
Yeah. We got this all together just as we were coming out of lockdown, so it might become redundant very quickly, but it's our kitchen sessions. So we go to somebody like Brian, or we had Jack L and Aoife Scott on, and they sing from their kitchens, and it's lovely. There's something different about it. There's something more intimate about it, I think.
There is, and there's something kind of old-fashioned about it in the sense that that's what used to happen years ago. People would, you know, sit around each other's kitchens and living rooms and just, you know, trade songs and trade guitar parts and all that. So whenever you suggested it, I just thought, that's a great idea.
Have you convinced our Niamh to do backing vocals with you?
Well, she's looking at me slightly panicked, is all I'll say, over the top of her mask. I can just see her kind of slightly widened eyes, but maybe that's a yes.
Right, okay. You're looking forward, obviously, as you were saying last week, to getting back out on the road.
Hey, listen, I'm going to Galway tomorrow.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, I've decided, I resisted all week, you know, but I'm going to go see some buddies in Galway tomorrow in a socially distant style and try and eat outside somewhere, I presume. Yeah, that's what we're going to try and do.
Great.
Yeah.
They're saying it'll be dry between the showers.
Lovely.
Right, okay, what are you going to sing for us?
I'm going to sing for you, actually I did, this is also a duet with Boy George on my record. This is called Christopher Street.
Great.
It goes like this. Oh, Christopher Street was busy tonight as I made my way back home. One of these nights, I'll turn on the light, like that taxi by the payphone. Well, I've been here a week, but it feels like more. And God knows how long I'll last. I picked up the mail from the hallway floor, and I'm finally making peace with the past. Now most of my friends are busy tonight, just getting their kids upstairs now. How did our lives change so fast? You just never know what's up the road ahead, do you? Now Christopher Street has quietened down. Seems even New York needs to sleep sometimes. But one of these nights, when I put out the lights, well, I'll find you waiting to love me. On Christopher Street. Da-da-da-da-da. There you go.
Bravo. Bravo.
Oh, thank you.
Bravo. An audience of two. Well, and the 250,000 people who are listening.
It's funny just hearing one clap because it sounds like a kind of a really reluctant pigeon trying to take off. Do you know? But well done anyway.
That's very, very descriptive. Very descriptive.
Thank you very much.
Listen, will you stay there with Neve and don't touch a thing? Because
Don't aggressive. Touch a thing. I'm not allowed. Neve is standing here with a big kind of whip going, don't touch anything. In my mind, at least.
We get another song from you before we leave at 4:30.
I'd love to.
But for the moment, Brian Kennedy, thank you very much. Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That's Brian Kennedy there singing from his music room, which is beside his kitchen. Now, there's been a lot of talk about hugs over the last 14, 15 months. When can we hug again? Was the question that was asked here, there and everywhere. Well, this week, a video tweeted by Suzanne Kane had us all in tears. It was where her mother, May, finally got to give her sister, Lily, that'd be Suzanne's auntie, Lily, a hug for the first time in over 12 months. And May Kane joins me on the line. How are you doing, May?
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Great to talk to you.
That's good. We can talk again.
Yeah, well, yes, we can.
And see again.
And hug again.
And, oh, the biggest thing is hug again. Yeah. And see your family again.
Yeah.
And that we've come through all this so well. You know, we should be grateful that everybody's, all our family are well and did escape that terrible virus. Thank God.
It was particularly tough on your age group, I think.
It was, yes, it was, because, you know, at one stage we could go to the shop. At the next stage, we couldn't go to the shop.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I have three in family that nearly had me a prisoner. You know, did you move out? Did you do this? And I just missed. I missed my family, but I missed people. Yeah. Most of all, I'm a talker. I just love people. I just not having people around and not being able to call into somebody or somebody calling to me, it just was terrible. And then, of course, my sister that I'm very, very close. I have five sisters.
Yes.
And I'm very, very close to one sister who's next to me. And we did everything together, our holidays and, you know, we did everything. And imagine not being able to get to see her. Her husband died during that time. And, you know, not to be able to support her. And all of us, everybody felt like that. We just couldn't get to see her and to go over to the funeral and to stand outside the church and not be able to hug her.
Yeah.
Was just dreadful.
When did Lily's husband die?
Lily's husband died the 19th of March.
Okay, right, okay. Yeah, you were, still are, very, very close. I'm just looking at the details.
I'm in Lusk at the moment. Yeah, I'm in Lusk at the moment. And a bonus is, my elder sister has arrived now, so she's an extra bonus.
All right, so there's hugs.
Hugs a go-go. Hugs all around.
Hugs a go-go,
yeah. Hugs all around, right? Yeah. And love all around.
And your husband died how many years ago?
Oh, he died 16 years ago.
And then you spent a lot more time then with Lily.
Oh, I did.
In the intervening years. Like,
I'd come over for maybe a day or two, maybe three.
Yeah.
And then go home, and we go and play bridge together, and, you know, and the company of the bridge and the company of her, and, you know. So, you know, we did our best. We had one another, and we have I've four sisters and one brother, and we get together, and we always have, right? Over the years, even when the children were small, we met every Sunday in one of our houses or the beach or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was every week. It goes for the whole family.
Mm. And you're nearly like twins, I believe.
We are. We even speak like one another.
Do you? Right, okay. What happened when you were, you were in Spain and she was in Canada, or the other way around?
Oh, no. I was in Spain and she was in Canada.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd buy things, the same things. She came home from Canada, this handbag, and I have one exactly the same that I bought in Spain.
Right.
You know, and of course, we went to lots of places together. Yeah. We went to Australia, we went to Canada, and we'd do our holidays, and, you know.
Why, if you were seeing so much of each other before the pandemic, could you not arrange a bubble or something?
No, you see, my family didn't agree with the bubble. I had to do as I was told.
Right.
And stay in my own bubble. And, like, you know, we did it according to what we should do.
Right.
And of course I was anxious to do what we were told to do, because now look at us, now we can be together.
Yes.
And, like, you're waiting for that day to come.
Yes. And what day was it? When did you finally meet Lily?
Oh, Wednesday.
Wednesday.
I tell you, Ray, on Wednesday I was able to come. I got my hair done on Monday. I got my nails done on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, I didn't even get up to the attic to pack a case to come, because I would have had clothes here. But I haven't been here for so long that I had no clothes here. So I just got two supermarket bags and put what I needed into them and said, I'm off. And I was dropped over.
Right.
So I don't know when I'm going home.
So you're there and
no, I'm there now. I'm here now.
Talk me through the reunion then. I know you'd obviously spoken to each other on the phone and all that
sort
of thing.
Yeah, oh yeah.
This is the first.
We talked every day.
Yeah, this is the first physical contact then. Talk me through that.
And, like, we talked every day after Jimmy died.
Yeah.
And I said to her, look, do you mind if I ring you every day? Because I just wanted to make sure she was all right. And it was all right with her. I just didn't want to impose on her, you know, give her a bit of space.
Yeah.
But I'd ring every evening. And, like, she isn't like me. She wouldn't have all the news. I'd have all the bits and pieces that if I did go out, I'd meet something off. The children came up to the door. Okay. I had two grandchildren during the pandemic.
Right.
So I did a little boy, Sonny, and a little girl, Suzanne's little girl, Sadie. So, you know, I didn't get to see them until they were a couple of days old. But you look, you know, we just had to go along with it.
Mm-hmm. So then on Wednesday then, you arrive over to Lusk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so talk us through it then.
Well, I took his suit. Well, arrived to Lusk, my son dropped me over.
Yeah.
And I just felt my heart was just elated. It was elated to see her. And, you know, that we could actually hug one another, because it was so, it was just a wonderful feeling. You know, the feeling that you think you're never going to see someone again. And you just, you know, and Suzanne said to me, are you excited? And I said, no, I'm not really, but I'm kind of anxious. I was anxious to get here.
Yeah.
You know, and of course she had the dinner in the oven, and then I said, no, we're not having our dinner. We'd sit down and we'll have a cup of tea and we'll talk first, face to face, and I'm holding her hand from talking.
Lovely.
So in all the years, Ray, we never fell out. Now, we'd have a difference, you know, but we'd agree to differ.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of relationship.
It sounds like a beautiful sisterly relationship.
Yeah, well, not just with our whole family. We don't ever, you know, get along and all, look after one another, kind of, you know.
I have the record, just the sound, obviously, because we're on the radio, and it's only 9 seconds long, and people get the idea. So this is you and Lily on Wednesday.
Oh my God, you found it! Oh good God!
Well, it's just the audio now, you know. So it's you in the hall of Lily's house. You just come in the front door. You can't even wait to get into the sitting room to give each other a hug. So here we go.
Oh, good to see you.
Oh,
great to see you.
Yes. Hmm?
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great.
It's just wonderful, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Oh, and it was. Lily, you could see Lily so missed you. And yeah, it was just a really heartfelt, lovely hug. And then she cupped your face in her hands and looked at you, as if to say, yes, you know, are you real? Sort of thing, yeah.
She did, yeah. That's exactly what she did. She would do that in a normal time. But look, it's just, it's, that was so long, right?
Yeah.
And like, your family are so important.
Yeah.
It's so important to have your family and to get on with one another. And, you know, because it's so easy.
Yeah.
It's easier to talk to somebody than not talk to somebody, you know, and get along with it, because everything can be fixed in life.
And do you get a sense now that, you know, there really is hope, isn't there?
Oh, there is hope.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be this happy if I thought there wasn't hope.
Yeah, yeah. And, you got through it, and
oh, we did, and we both had underlying.
And Lily got
conditions
through it, yeah. You both had underlying conditions,
yeah,
right?
So she was in the bonds for a couple of days. True, she has a lung problem, and 2 years ago, I had myeloma, and I was in hospital for a good while. And you know, once you get over those things, but this pandemic was different. Like, it was just dead. There was nothing happening.
Hmm.
The libraries were closed. Everything was,
yeah,
and my concentration was completely gone. You know, all I did was I potted my plants.
Right.
And that I could look out at something that was nice, and I was glad I had a garden.
Yeah, yeah, you were lucky to have one, I suppose.
Yeah, I was lucky to have a garden and to do a bit of planting. And then I'd go up to the garden centre and I'd pop something in. Oh, look, it was grand. Thank God I had it. And thank God I had a family.
Well, listen, will you do us a favour?
Will you
give Lily a hug from us?
I certainly will give her a hug.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have Anne Marie here as well.
Oh, yeah, your other sister. Give her a hug. Give her a hug first. Okay.
Of course I will.
Listen, mind yourself. Mind yourself,
okay,
May. Great talking to you. Have a good weekend.
And you too, Ray. Yeah, and
bye
keep
now.
Safe.
Yeah, bye
okay,
now.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
The wonderful Pauline MacLean joins us in studio.
What's left of her? What's left of her after this year we've had? There's more of me.
A virtual hug, since we're talking about hugs.
I'll take that, thanks. I'll give you an elbow in return, but I'm not allowed to spit at you anymore. Do you know, some things we'll miss.
Are you not vaccinated?
I'm half vaccinated, right. Yeah. I'm half AstraZeneca'd. I don't know if you've found this, but, you've only just got your appointment for Sunday, but there's a lot of snobbery in the vaccination world, or a lot of one-upmanship. You know, like my sister-in-law got the Pfizer and we all went, ooh, you know what I mean? And she only needs to wait 4 weeks for her second jab.
Yes.
My brother got the Moderna,
right,
and they're now assuring me that I've only been just injected with water, you know, because they're poo-pooing the AstraZeneca.
Yeah.
But I'm very glad to have it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got quite
given
emotional.
Given the choice, which would you have picked?
I suppose just because it sounds great. Or, you know, it's just literally the sound of it. The Pfizer. Because it's foxy, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was happy when they said to me, it's AstraZeneca. I said, thank you very much, you know.
I'll take two.
Yeah. I've won now and I'll have won a while. I won't take them all at once, you know.
Yeah.
Too much pleasure. But I got quite emotional because, you know, I was queuing with a whole load of people my age and we were all there, you know, just shuffling in, presenting ourselves and saying that we were still alive and happy to be there. And I asked the nurse who gave it to me, you know, did she find a lot of people getting a bit tearful? And she said, yeah, but it's because it's hope, isn't it? You know, and I think that's it, isn't it? It's just
tears
wonderful.
Of joy.
That's it, yeah, and the hope that it
did you have to give a lot of consideration to what you wore? Going to get your.
Do you know, it never even occurred to me. As long as you have the mask on, you know, you think, oh,
no,
I'm
but
grand.
Access to the upper arm.
You know? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's. I think you're an idiot if you don't think that. Or else a show off who just needs to get naked in front of people. And in fairness, it's been a long time since we were allowed to do that as well, isn't it? Lockdown's put a stop to so many things. The simple pleasures. But it was wonderful. Yeah.
Now, it looks like you're going to be an international vaccine recipient in that you got half vaccined in the UK.
Yeah, I had one of those lockdowns where, like everyone in showbiz, there was nothing. You know, like I was unemployed. But that's kind of the story of people in showbiz lives, unless they're Judi Dench. But even she was unemployed for the pandemic and shut down and locked down and the whole lot. So there was one little television job that was postponed for 316 days before we got to do it. And while we were doing it, because Fordage was back in the UK, so I travelled over and, you know, did all my quarantines and tested out the yin-yang and the whole lot. And while I was there and all of the travel restrictions started tightening and I was doing the little bit of work and thrilled with myself, and it was only a few days, but look at, after a year of nothing, it was marvellous. And I got a letter from the NHS offering me my jab, and I thought, thank you very much, and I'm a great fan of the NHS, so I've taken my AstraZeneca from the UK. Right. Now here's the thing, I'm due my second jab, but of course, you know, pretty much locked down here. And it's supposed to be in a few weeks' time. So I'm wondering, you know, I didn't even register with the HSE. Say I did, and I went in, and they gave me an AstraZeneca. That'd be me.
Kind of hands across the border, wouldn't it?
But then again, you know, I'd look like I was only half vaccinated either here or there. So I don't know how that works.
My understanding is that the first and the second, they're the same.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean?
There isn't a big stash of firsts and a big stash of seconds.
No, I'm sure they're the same, yeah. But I'd have to have little notifications from both governments. Having said that, wouldn't that be in these post-Brexit days? Wouldn't it be lovely?
Yes.
Hands across
You'd
the sea.
You'd be an example.
And, do you know, and saying we can make things work. Yeah. You know, this is the hand we've been dealt. Let's do it. Yeah. So I'm prepared to be an international
giver of happiness. Would you not register here?
Well, I suppose I could, but then I might confuse the HSE very greatly.
All right.
You know, and what if I went in and they offered me the Pfizer? I wouldn't be able to resist it.
Seemingly they're interchangeable.
Do you know, oh, are they?
Those ones, the Pfizer. Oh, no. AstraZeneca is a different one to the Pfizer.
Yeah,
sorry.
So maybe not, you
Pfizer
know.
Pfizer and Moderna seemingly are interchangeable.
Oh. So, do you know what I mean? But isn't it a fabulous kind of a decision to have to make at an international level?
It isn't.
Because I'd be doing this for the country.
Yeah,
now,
of course
you know,
you would, of course,
and for international relations. Yeah. So there you go. A first world problem, but an international and important one.
This is big news. I don't think anybody knows it, but you are about to play Pierce Brosnan's wife in a movie.
Now, before everyone just drops dead, you know, with the excitement of that, it is an animation. So, in fairness, I am his cartoon wife, if you like. But I'm only largely based on a real person anyway. So, you know, kind of the place I should be is animation, really, when you think of it. Because, you know, do I really exist? There is a very fabulous thing coming at the end of the month on Sky Cinema, I believe, on the 28th. It's Riverdance, the movie, and it's an animated feature. I've seen some of it, not all. I'll be tuning in like everyone else on the day. And it's not the story of the show or anything like that. It is a full new story and a movie that will appeal to all ages of your family.
I've only seen the trailer. It looks like a Celtic tale, is it?
It is. It's full of mythology, real or not. Well, is mythology real? Yeah. Oh, hello. Discuss. Oh, God, I'm full of big ideas today, aren't I? But anyway, it follows.
You're like a coil spring that just got out.
I haven't been let out in over a year. You know,
just wind her up and let her go. I'm
overexcited. It's not pretty. Oh, my God. It's just as well it's radio, and I pity you having to watch it. But I did shave this morning anyway before I came out, so some things are okay. But yes, it's the story of basically Pierce Brosnan is a lighthouse keeper, and the lighthouse light must be kept lit against the forces of darkness, and something happens to him. Now, I'm married to him, so obviously I'm married to one of the James Bonds, so I'm an elderly Bond girl in this, and let that be just noted internationally. So anyway, something happens to him, and his grandson Keegan has to take over the duties, aided slightly by myself. So it's just amazing. Like, what you do is, sadly, you don't get to get into the studio with everyone else because, and this was pre-COVID as well anyway, but it's just because it's an animation, you know, they record all of the live. It's I mean, you couldn't have a cast like they've got.
It's a
multi-million
cast,
budget. Yeah, because like Brendan Gleeson's in it, he's a huge part in it. There's Pierce, there's
Pauline McLean,
Aisling B's in it. A raft of other people, and so of course they, you know, there's dancing and music in it as well, and the dancing's magnificent. And what they did for it was they filmed actual Riverdance dancers. You know, all covered almost in a suit. Thank you. You see, you're hip with the kids and technology.
I have kids, so I don't have to hip with them.
And so they did that, and then the animators animated it. So there's a whole raft of stags at one stage dancing, and it's like, oh my word, it's just magical. To such music as stirs us every time we hear it.
I feel like I'm going to get up.
There's dancing happening in the studio, everyone. He's good, I'll tell you that. Jesus, you have the rhythm. But it's so it's like a story all based around the most brilliant things about Riverdance. Oh, here we go. And then, do you remember the huge burst of applause during the Eurovision when we saw it? I was sitting on my sofa in Cabra at the time, and I remember, or Fabra, as we like to call it, and I remember texting around our phone and people saying, did you just see that?
Yeah.
What happened there? What happened? Because as somebody who was dragged up through the Irish dancing and has a bockety knee as a result, that's my excuse. And, we weren't allowed to use our hands.
Yeah.
And do all of the things that we were watching, it was extraordinary and brilliant. And 25 years later, it still is brilliant.
And there's
it's
a
about
movie.
To be animated and come to, yeah, Riverdance the movie.
Who would have
How
thought
lucky am
that
I?
It would have had legs like that?
Many, many, many legs. So yeah, that's the big excitement at the moment. Yeah.
So at the end of the month on Sky.
Yeah, yeah. So it's you know, doesn't matter who you are or what age you are, you're going to love this. It couldn't not appeal to you. You'd have to be kind of dead in your soul not to love it. That's what I think.
Do you get a sense that things are going to speed up now?
I mean, do you know,
are you getting calls now from people for shows and all that
things,
sort of thing?
Things are happening, certainly television and film wise. I can't say that I have anything to do. I am splendidly unemployed still. Available, in other words. But, you know, I mean, the sad thing is that there'll be no live theatre for a while yet anyway. And, you know, you worry sometimes when we return. And by the way, it'd be one of the safest environments you could go into because, you know, it's so regulated and everything. Even, you know, the bits that were tried out even during the lockdown worked so well. And, you know, it's a really safe thing to do. But you know, now there's going to have to be distancing, and obviously there's an economic knock on to that. And you know, so we'll see, I suppose, smaller shows live, but they're, you know, they're going to be great as well. Because I think that probably what we've realised during the lockdown, all of us in the entertainment business, is that we felt really disposable. You know, I won't lie, and Panty Bliss has spoken about this as well. Overnight, Dr. Bliss realised that her whole world kind of
disappeared.
Came to nothing and it disappeared. It'll be back though, thank goodness. And we have to be back because, you know, the storytellers in our communities, they're the ones who kind of help to make sense of what we lived through. And that's what theatre does, for instance, and television and, you know,
and
storytelling
and comedy and
music,
yeah, comedy,
all of the things, and particularly the live events when we can go out and be together and celebrate, just making it through.
But even like, it's like we've had a huge reaction to Brian Kennedy singing live from his kitchen, because we've been deprived of that for
so long. And I mean, and now that, you know, I mean, touch wood, the weather will pick up and it won't be a very rainy Irish summer, you know, but between that and our vaccines and everything, I mean, you know, the excitement is palpable. But yet then there are things like, I remember speaking to you before and saying, look, we're living in a more mindful way now. We have a big mindfulness going on. Things will be better, and I hope we hang on to that.
That was my next question.
I'm a bit worried now. Like, there was a lot of traffic when I was coming across town to you today. And
okay,
I'm thinking,
let's put it this way then. Have you changed? Has it changed you?
Yeah, I think, I hope I'm no more madder, as we would say, than usual, in a crackpot kind of way. I mean, I'm hoping that everybody will, you know, I'm hoping that I haven't gotten too hippy-dippy, you know, yeah. over the time, because I was kind of going that way anyway. It's the age I'm at and the whole lot. But, like, I am worried now that we're not going to just concentrate on the important things and you know.
It's odd, because Barbara was at the checkout when I was in the supermarket yesterday evening, actually. Barbara's a lovely lady, and we always have her chats, and she was going to me, oh, it's wonderful, there's hope, and I got vaccinated, and it's brilliant, and she says, I'll never give out about anything again. She says, I'm going to really appreciate things, and that was, yeah. And I didn't ask her about it, she offered it up,
yeah.
And I said, I said we get a t-shirt done, Barbara, remember the pandemic,
yeah, you know. And you know it, and that's exactly, we must hold that close, and we must, you know, take positives from it, and also feel that obviously that we can't just settle for what we had beforehand, because things can improve. And I mean, you look at the greatest single threat to us all at the moment is climate change, and we've all just kind of, you know, stepped away from being big polluters, I hope, during the pandemic, and we can keep that up, for instance. And if every person makes a little effort, then we're going to be living in a far better place, and we'll be able to leave it behind as well, rather than destroy it and for it to come to nothing. But you know, there's other things as well, like that, like a lot of us use the internet to stay in touch with people and whatever else. And it's during, you know, the last year and a bit. And it's a very double-edged beast, because, I mean, there's things happening at the moment. And, you know, this is where you start thinking, oh, have we changed at all? Like, there's a big TikTok craze where kids have ducklings.
Oh, you know, we talked about it the other day. Yeah. Yes, yeah.
And for instance, that's like been propagated on the internet and the whole lot. Now, I have to say to, like, all of the rescues in the country are now inundated with ducklings. And you know, if your kid has one, believe me, they cannot look after it properly, because it needs to be trained how to forage, how to look after itself.
We spoke to Niall Hatch there.
Yeah, and the whole lot, it won't be waterproof, depending on what age it is, so it will drown. You know, all that. So you see this happening, you think, oh, there are still, you know, things that we have to be on the lookout for.
Well, it wasn't, the pandemic was never going to right all wrongs.
No, for sure not. But, you know, it's we realise the power of communicating with one another, I suppose, say, on the internet and using.
Do you know what I think on a global level is hugely important? That global cooperation got us to where we are now with the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to the pandemic, a lot of people were saying, for example, if we want to tackle climate change, it requires global cooperation.
Yeah.
If we want to take on the big tech companies, that demands global
and
cooperation.
We can do it. Yeah, you know, as Mr. Barack Obama used to say. And he's right.
Yes,
he was so right,
yes,
wasn't he?
Can.
You know?
Yes, we can.
But you know, it's like interesting as we move forward. Like, I mean, soon we're going to be let back out shopping on the streets. Yeah. Now, at that stage, I'll be taken to Grafton Street with a bucket, trying to raise funds for Little Hill, because the animal rescue and sanctuary. Because of course, there's been nothing for the last year. Like, fundraising has changed completely, and now I'm worried that when I'm out with my bucket. Neil Sackman on Word for bucket as Gaelga, but bucket. Me busca, bucket, is it a bucket?
Yes.
Sometimes they're so similar and makey uppy. But do you know, we'd be there, and I'm wondering, will people be carrying cash anymore? You know, because there's another thing. Yeah. You know, we've all been tapping.
I feel sorry
for
the guys who deliver takeaway. Like, we only get it once a week, but there's no cash in the house.
Because we have no cash.
Great
stuff
to see
like
you.
That.
Riverdance, the animated movie on Sky towards the end of the month, with Pauline and Brendan Gleeson and Pierce Brosnan and Aisling Bea and loads more, and the music of Bill Whelan, of course, the brilliant Riverdance
brilliant,
music.
Brilliant, music.
We have Michael Mosley on next. We're going to be talking about balancing on one foot.
Oh, that's not... I'm very bad at that.
Yeah.
I've a very bad balance.
Right,
that's
okay.
Even sober now, you know, and it doesn't improve after that. Very bad.
But the brilliant thing to know is, and we'll be talking about it, is that you can actually get better at it just by practicing.
I need to be listening to that. Because you know, I have dreams and hopes that the high wire act can happen. I mean, now we're making ourselves big, and if the movie becomes a live action, oh hello, I have to be able to dance like one of the river dancers, you know.
Pauline, great to see you.
and good to have
you in the studio.
That's fantastic. Look at everyone, keep on keeping on, we're getting there.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, we've spoken to Michael Mosley, Dr. Michael Mosley, on the show a few times in the past, most recently about the phenomenon of intermittent fasting. He has a new podcast out called Just One Thing. It's a wonderfully produced, short, bite-sized podcast. And in each one, Michael picks something, a little thing, that can greatly improve our health. And Michael's on the line now. How are you doing, Michael?
Very good, thanks. I'm actually talking to you from a wood at the moment. So I'm surrounded. You may be able to hear birdsong in the background.
I love birdsong. That's one of the things. Yes,
so that's one of the things. Spend time in green spaces. I'm in bright green, surrounded by trees and an awful lot of birds at the moment.
And what's the science behind that?
Well, there is actually quite a lot. The Japanese are very fond of it. They call it forest bathing. And one of the advantages of spending time in green spaces, it has quite an effect on depression, anxiety. You get close to nature and the trees themselves actually produce this a sort of aromatic substance, which for some reason our brains really love and has been shown to boost our T cells, part of our immune system. Uh-huh. So you're actually, when you're breathing in that scent of trees, you're also breathing in things which seem to stimulate your immune system. So going back to our sort of roots, if you like, to our ancient times.
Okay, you do a full podcast on balancing. I was saying that to Pauline MacLean, Mrs. Doyle from Father Ted, that you were coming on. And it's a thing that we lose as we get older, but it's a thing that we should try to hold on to.
Absolutely, because surprisingly enough, falls are the second commonest cause of accidental death after traffic accidents worldwide. And our ability to stand upright, which is pretty remarkable, there are very few other mammals that can do it. We do it without thinking, but that tends to fall off. And there is evidence that as the generations go by, people are getting worse at balancing because they're practicing less. They spend less time on their feet, more time sitting in their bottoms, looking at screens. Uh-huh. And we, when you actually think of it, balancing is a pretty tricky thing, because when you're standing there, there are basically three sense organs keeping you upright. There's information coming from your feet, there's the inner ear, your balance organ there, and then there's your eyes. And your brain has to coordinate all three of them. And when it doesn't do that too well, that's kind of when you fell over. When you fall over, and as I said, as you get older, that is a problem. And so you can work on your balance. We all know about, you know, the importance of doing aerobic exercise, running, walking, things like that. Also, strength exercises, press up squats. But very few people know that they should also be trying to work on their balance.
Mm. It's interesting because we had Professor Moyna on earlier in the year, and he'd put together a little sort of fitness test, and part of it was to stand on one foot and close your eyes.
Yeah.
And he said to me, as a man of 56, that I should do about 11-12 seconds. And at the time, he sort of ambushed me a bit, and I was live on air and all that sort of thing. Anyway, it scared me how difficult it was to do, and I thought I was
absolutely
a fit man.
I think he was a bit optimistic. In my experience, very few people over the age of 45 can do more than 7 or 8 seconds.
With their eyes closed, right. Okay.
If you'd been able to do it in 10 seconds, you'd have been doing well. With both eyes open, you should manage about 30 seconds on one leg. But with your eyes closed, you'd be lucky to do 10 seconds.
Okay.
And he probably told you that actually this is one of the best ways of predicting healthy life expectancy.
He did, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yes.
And it's a crucial skill and one you can improve. One of the things I do, for example, is when I'm brushing my tooth in the evening, I stand on one leg and then the other leg while I'm brushing my teeth, and my balance has got better. You can also do the classic, you know, the one where you're drunk and you have to walk with your heel to your toe and do that forwards and then backwards. And that also is a good way of improving your balance. And it does lots of brilliant things, improves the tone, the way you walk, how you hold yourself. And as I said, it also seems to have quite a big effect on the brain as well.
Yeah, the great thing about it is, because I'm a bit competitive, I got a bit scared, and I said, I'm going to fix this. As you know, we're men as well, we want to fix things, I'm going to fix it. So every morning what I do now is I stand on one each leg separately and close my eyes, and the time I can do it now has increased over the last 3 or 4 months.
Impressive. What are you up to now then?
I don't want to say, but it's healthy. Let's say it's healthy, you know.
Absolutely. One of the things I do in the series is I get a member of the public to try the one thing. I do it myself, and then I interview an expert. to see, you know, what's the science behind it.
Yes.
And the physiologist, the exercise physiologist who I was talking to, she had got herself up from 7 seconds to about 50 seconds
right.
over a period of time. So it's another thing to add to it. As I said, what I was trying to do with this podcast series was essentially to do propose things which are really easy
okay.
to fit
well,
into your life.
Let's get to the cold shower then. We've covered the balance. So another this is a thing you can do in the morning. Is it at the end or the beginning of your shower?
Whichever you're honest, I think you'd be pretty tough to go in. I prefer going, I have the warm shower, wash myself, and then I switch over to cold, and then I start to gasp.
Okay. So what's the science then behind that?
Sure. So it's become really quite popular. There's a Dutch guy called Wim Hof who swims underwater in the icy cold Arctic. I don't think I'm going to be doing that. But there are a couple of things. One, when you're exposed to cold water for the first time, what will happen is you'll kind of hyperventilate. Your body will produce lots and lots of adrenaline. But you also got something called the cold shock response. And
right.
you produce this stuff called a cold shock protein. And this seems to be good for the brain. And interestingly enough, there are studies at the moment, certainly in animals, showing that brief exposure to cold protects them from dementia and things like that. And it also seems to boost mood. People who suffer from anxiety or depression, they seem to benefit from going cold water swimming. And there was a study also in Holland showing that a 30 to 40 second shower, cold shower every morning, people who did that, it cut their risk of getting a cold by about 30% the following winter.
So it's good for your immune system.
Absolutely. That seems to be the case. But it needs to be quite short, because if you go for a longer period of time, it seems to have the opposite effect.
Okay.
So, so that's the good news.
You got a bit of a shock yourself in cold water.
I did indeed. This was a couple of summers ago, and it was sort of June time, and I was swimming with my wife, and it was down in Cornwall. And the water was quite cold, but everything went blank. And the next thing I was aware of was I was in Casualty. And apparently I'd come out of the water. I had no idea who Claire was. I had no idea where I was, who I was. My memories had been completely wiped. And she thought I might have had a stroke or something. So she took me along to the local Casualty. And slowly my memory recovered. And I'd suffered from something called total global amnesia. Basically, my memory had been wiped for an hour. And apparently that was a response to cold water swimming. The sort of shock had raised my blood pressure. The blood had gone the wrong way around my venous system. And it's quite rare, but it was a bit nasty.
So people need to be careful, and they need to sort of acclimatise themselves, don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, the cold shower is unlikely to do that.
Okay.
But certainly if you're going to go cold water swimming, you know, in a pond, in a lake, in a whatever it might be, out at sea, then do go with a friend. Because, you know, it can be quite dangerous if you're not used to it.
There's great hope about your podcast, just one thing, because we're constantly told about small, achievable steps, and we all want to improve our health. And you lay it out there, just one little thing, like 40 seconds of a cold shower in the morning, or standing on one foot with your eyes closed for, you know, 2 minutes in the morning if you can achieve it. So it's well worth a listen. Just one thing. It's there wherever you get your podcasts, and it's delivered with the inimitable engaging style of Dr. Michael Mosley. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks a lot. Keep going.
Mind yourself. Yeah, you too. Bye. Keep standing on one leg and closing your eyes. Okay, quick commercial break.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good morning, Ciarán. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend. 51551 ray at rte.ie. A couple of texts to catch up on from the last hour. I got vaccinated last Friday. I had no short sleeve shirts, so I picked the shirt I hated most and cut both arms off it. Turns out that it was a Christmas present from my wife. She reliably informed me that last Christmas I told her I loved it and it was the best shirt I'd ever got. Whoops. Uh-oh. Pauline is so positive and optimistic. There are too many negative people out there in the world. Everyone is trying their best, and I love how she recognises it. Let's all have that positivity. Ray, there's something in the air, all right. I just got my vaccine appointment for Sunday. Whoopee! Says Susan in Malahide. And on the lost and found front, years ago, I won a prize for my Victoria sandwich at the Bancha show. Well done, you. On the way home, a black car flagged us down from behind. I pulled in thinking it was the guards. Yes, the cake was on the roof of the car. It was a soft top car, so it stayed on. We had to remove a daddy long legs and a few flies from the cream, but it was still delicious. Not what it lost, but what it gained. Lost my wallet a few years ago. I was bamboozled for days. Found it when I moved my bed last year. There it was, under the bed. How on earth did it get there? It must have fallen and flew under the bed. Well, they don't have wings, do they? There's a doormat in my area that has a checklist on it. Keys, phone, wallet. Just look down before you lock your door. That's a good idea, isn't it? And there's a lovely text there about Brian Kennedy. And Brian will be back, back on before the end of the show to sing us out. Now it's time for our quiz of today. Yeah, today is the 14th of May. 10 questions on the way from events that happened on this day over the years and the decades and centuries. And a prize as well from the Castleknock Hotel. Thanks very much to them for helping us out. They want us to tell you about their missed moments packages, a chance to catch up on things you missed out on last year, like birthdays, anniversaries and date nights. The packages include balloons, bubbles and cake. You can find out more at castleknockhotel.com. Hello, Sheila. Sheila Kelleher in Killarney. How are you doing, Sheila?
Hello, Ray. How are you keeping?
It is Kelleher, is it?
That's right.
Yes.
Yes, Kelleher. Yep.
Yes, you spell it with an I-G-H-E-R. I haven't seen it spelled.
K-E-L-I-H-E-R.
Oh, it's right.
It's Kerry Kelleher, yep.
Kerry Kelleher from Killarney in Kerry. All the K's.
That's right.
What are you up to at the moment, Sheila?
Well, I'm just off work today, Ray, so doing a bit of housework, you know, getting the dinner and getting the place tidied and waiting for a few of them to return from college and things like that.
And it's a big day for one of your sons, I believe.
Well, my son Sean actually finished up yesterday in UL. He's doing Irish music.
Ah, what instrument does he play?
Sean plays quite a lot of instruments, Ray. He plays tin whistle, fiddles, bagpipes, guitar, different things, drums. You name it, Sean can play it.
Right, he's a multi-instrumentalist.
He's a monster, yeah. And he loves his music, thanks be to God.
And is the house a music house?
It is. I have four, Ray, and they all play music and sing and dance and do the whole lot.
Ah, brilliant. So will that be the weekend now? Will it be a session guaranteed at the weekend?
Well, there could be, yes. There will be a bit of music flying. It could start at 7 o'clock in the morning and it could finish at 11 o'clock at night. Mother of God. But anyway, we have to put up with it.
That's great.
So that's why I'm hoping to win the two nights in Dublin. I'll be on the road next week.
Yeah, you arrive into the lobby of the hotel and they're playing traditional music on the PA and you go, no!
Yes, I had a small bit of break, but they're great and they love their music. It's just great, right? You know, it was wonderful last year and during the lockdown, it was great.
Yeah, great, great entertainment.
Thank God, yeah.
Yeah, so positive. So your hubby, I believe, is a great cook.
Yes, he loves cooking, yes, and great man for the cooking, thanks be to God.
Yeah, but it's your turn tonight.
Yes, I was doing it this evening because my husband got his vaccine in Killarney. He was delighted.
Right, okay, great. It's all good
news.
So
thank God.
Yeah, what's on the menu?
There's chicken curry.
Great.
They all love their chicken curry, so.
Brilliant. That's good. That'll fortify them for the session that'll follow.
That's
now,
right.
You're up against Breedney Leahan from Carrow. How are you, Breed?
Well, how are you, Ray? How are you doing?
Did I get that? Is it Ni Leahan?
Ni Leahan, yeah.
That's it, right. Now, you have a big announcement to make.
Well, put it this way, I'm in the car and there's a couple of people listening there, but they don't know where I'm going.
Right, okay. Right, yeah, you have so, us now, we're intrigued. How much can you reveal, Breed?
Well, I suppose I could say that I'm travelling to a place that I haven't been to since Christmas.
Right. And
that there might be two other people in the car with me.
Right. And would they be younger than you?
They'd be younger than me, yeah.
Right.
They definitely would be younger than me, yeah.
Okay.
And I'd say there's somebody that doesn't know I'm coming, but would probably have to put a dinner on.
Would they be older than you?
They'd be older than me, yes.
Right. Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm enjoying this game, this little game. So, and when you come across to Galway, will you be turning right and going south, or will you be turning left and going north?
I'll be going south.
Going south, right. Okay.
Actually, I won't be far away from where the other contestant is. It Sheila?
Yes, Sheila.
Yes.
All right, so you're going down
I'm only about 17 kilometres away from Killarney.
Aha! Uh-huh.
That's where I'm going.
I think the person, if they're listening to the radio, will know now.
Yes. I hope so.
So go
hi,
on.
Ma'am.
Yeah, there you go. Breed is going to see her mother from Carrow. Is it in County Cork? She must be. Where is she?
She's in Cooley in County Cork.
Right, and that in must Cooley. Be near. Must be near the place where
we're 3 miles from Kerry. It's Sean O'Rea, the country. If ever heard of. Sean O'Reilly, the musician, well, that's kind of where he was based before he died.
Aha, right.
So that's where...
Is it near the place that there used to be a Cadbury's factory? What's the name of that place?
A what factory?
A Cadbury's chocolate factory. What?
No.
No.
So we're halfway between Macroom and Killarney. So right. It's a Gaeltacht area. It's an Irish-speaking area.
Right, okay. And your mum's there and Breed is Eichchocht. Yeah, there you go. Right, five questions each. Sheila and Breed, whoever answers most correct gets the prize. If it's a draw at the end of five, we go to a tiebreak situation. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Thank you, Breed.
Good luck, Sheila.
Thank you.
Right, first question for you, Sheila. On this day in 2004, the Constitutional Court of South Korea overturned the impeachment of President Roh Moo-hyun. On what continent would you find South Korea? Sheila?
Asia.
Asia is the correct answer. Right. Breed, on this day in 1811, Paraguay gained independence from Spain. On what continent would you find Paraguay?
South America.
Correct answer. Right. Sheila, your second question is an audio one. Have a listen to this. On this day in 1944, Sheila, George Lucas, American film director and producer, was born in California. He created that series of films. Can you name the films?
Star Wars.
Correct answer. Breed, your audio one. Have a listen to this.
Hello, my name's Forrest. Forrest Gump. Do you want a chocolate? I could eat about 1.5 million of these. My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates.
On this day in 1952, Robert Zemeckis, American film director, was born in Chicago, Illinois. He directed that film, Forrest Gump. Who played Forrest Gump in the movie?
Tom Hanks.
Correct answer. Third question for you, Sheila. On this day in 1862, Adolphe Nicole of Switzerland patented the chronograph. Which of these countries does Switzerland share a border with? Germany or Belgium?
Belgium.
It's Germany. It's Germany. Okay. And just for your information, a chronograph's sort of a stopwatch. A very precise watch. Breed, your third question, a chance to go in front if you get it right. On this day in 1907, Sweden adopted the right for all adults to vote in elections. Which of these countries does Sweden share a border with? Finland or Poland?
Finland.
Correct answer. Right, Sheila, a music question for you. Have a listen to this.
Along the byway and more, much more than this, I did it my way.
On this day in 1998, that legendary American singer and crooner died at the age of 82. Can you name him?
Frank Sinatra.
Is the correct answer, said with confidence. Ooh. And for you, Breed, your music question. That song, The Reflex, was number one on this day in 1984. Can you name the group?
I don't know that. Frankie Goes to Hollywood, is it?
No.
Oh.
Duran Duran.
Oh, sugar, I should have known that.
Yeah, you should.
One.
I thought you would have got that.
I should have known that.
Yes, you should have.
My friend would have got that one, yeah.
Right, okay. So it's 3-3 now. It's down to the wire. Sheila, final question for you. Get it right, you put Breed under a bit of pressure. If she gets the final question correct, we go to a tie break. If she doesn't, then you are the winner, if you get this right. So good luck.
Okay.
On this day in 1792, Denmark abolished the slave trade. Which of these countries has a larger population than Denmark? Panama, Portugal or Puerto Rico? So which of those countries has a bigger population than Denmark? Panama, Portugal or Puerto Rico?
Portugal.
Panama, 4 million. Puerto Rico, 2 million. Denmark has 5 million. Portugal has 10 million. It's the correct answer. Well done. You're on 4. You can't do anything else.
Okay.
Breed, a little bit of pressure on you now to get this right. If you do, we're into a tiebreak situation. If you don't, Sheila wins the prize. Okay, good luck with this.
Okay.
Right. On this day in 1921, Arve Oppsal, a Norwegian actor and stand-up comedian, was born in Oslo, Norway. Which of these countries has a larger population than Norway? Mongolia, Moldova or Mozambique? So a larger...
Mongolia?
You're just...
Sorry, yes?
No, I'll say them. Mongolia, Moldova or Mozambique? Which has the larger population than Norway?
Mozambique. I'm not sure.
Mongolia is 3 million. Moldova is 4 million. Norway is 5 million. Mozambique has 31 million. So you're correct. Yes. Right.
That was a lucky guess.
Well, yeah, well, they all count. They all count. Now, we're into a tie-break situation. Sheila and Breed don't particularly like these, but that's the only way we can sort it out. So you were asked the question before you went on air, and the question was this. On this day in 1965, Owen Colfer, writer, was born in Wexford. According to the AA route planner, how long will it take you to drive from Wexford town to Buncrana in County Donegal? And we want your answers in hours and minutes. So, can you remember, Sheila, your guess?
I gave it 4 hours, 50 minutes.
4 hours, 50 minutes, you said. Right, it's 409 kilometres. And Breed, your guess?
Was 5 hours and 30 minutes.
Right. The correct answer is 4 hours and 49 minutes. So you were nearly there, so you nearly got exactly right. Breed, about that. And I see here that you were 50 last year and 25 years married, and like the missed moments packages are made for somebody like you. So
doesn't matter. Anyway, don't worry.
Anyway, listen, it's a big day. Drive safely and all the way down to Cork, and I'm sure there'll be emotional hugs and kisses all around.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Congratulations, Sheila, and thanks a million.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Great talking to you, Breed.
Okay. Bye.
Mind yourself. Slán. Okay. Well done, Sheila.
Thank you very much, Ray. I'm delighted.
So you're going to get a break from the traditional music.
Oh, thanks be to God.
Yourself and Brendan will be heading up to the Castleknock Hotel.
We're actually going to change our mind now. We're going to wait till September and bring back sandwiches, please God.
Ah, right.
We've changed our mind. We're going to bring back Sam, so hopefully with the help of God.
Okay, well, you're on to book it now. Well, that's confidence for you. Okay, so castleknockhotel.com if you want to find out what's in store for you. And have a great weekend, Sheila, and mind yourself, and good luck with the curry. Okay.
Thank you very much.
See you. Bye now. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, it's the last night of the Comedy Carnival online, roisindove.net, for tickets. And it's called Carnival because it's hosted by our next guest, Carl Spain. How are you doing, Carl?
How are you, Ray? I'm good. Should call it the Spainaville would be better, would it?
The which?
The Spainaville.
The Spainaville, right. Look, I have to thank you for the best laugh of the last 14 months. When they had you on, was it Drive Time? And they were talking about knock-knock jokes. Can you remember the joke you shared with them?
I can't, actually. I wrote it on the day.
Did you?
Yeah, I was, because they asked me.
Here, I'll do it then. I'll do your joke to you. Right, right. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Mike Ryan.
Mike Ryan who?
No, it's WHO.
Mike Ryan, World Health Organization. Oh.
That was your joke.
That was my joke. Yeah. Ray, the worst thing is I've written things in the past. You know, I've written pantos, I've written scripts for things, and I've suggested jokes to comedians, and I've heard the jokes back and laughed and go, "Oh, I love that joke," and they went, "Yeah, you gave me that. You wrote," and I went, "Did I?" And I know this sounds terribly arrogant, but you forget them. You write them and they're gone. They're in the thing. But yeah, when you give a joke to a comedian and then tell him the joke you like is the one you've given him, it's really bad.
That's like a certain person tweeting about his articles saying they were brilliant. Anyway, there you go. So it's Carnival tonight online, Roisin. How many of them have you done?
Oh, we've done different types of shows where we did them where I was sitting upstairs in the house at a desk. We did them last year. It was the first proper gigs back. We did, it was a summer garden up in Galway. No, not a driving range in Caravan Park, a summer garden. Do you not know? But this, we're actually in the Roisin Dove talking to cameras. So we've done about a dozen of gigs in the last few months.
Right.
So I'll be in Galway with Mickey Bartlett, Fred McCauley and Joe Caulfield in Edinburgh, and Nina Conti's in London. So it's like the Eurovision, Ray, but it's comedy.
Yeah. I love Nina Conti. She's real
brilliant.
Talent. Yeah. Yeah.
She's brilliant. And I was in the BBC New Act final with her years ago. And it was not even in the slightest doubt that she was going to win.
Yeah.
Once I'd seen her, I was like, oh, that's it's over. Like, you know, she was absolutely, and like ventriloquism is actually what used to be kind of seen as a bit of a joke, but I think she kind of almost reinvented it. Like it was, she's outstanding. She's outstanding. Don't tell her I said it though.
She listens every afternoon, so she's heard it. She's Tom Conti's daughter.
Daughter. Yeah.
And she has the ventriloquist act you referred to. She had a monkey. Does she still have the monkey?
She's got different characters. I'm not sure which one she does. The one she probably won't be doing is where she takes the, do you ever see where she does the mouthpiece and puts it on an audience member?
Yes, well, you can't do that.
And that's, so that's incredible. But the monkey is brilliant. The old lady character, she does lots of different characters. Yeah, I'm sure we'll get a bit of all of them tonight.
The comedy community is a tight-knit community, and you hang out together after gigs and all that. You've missed all that, apart from the gigs and the laughs from a live audience, you've missed meeting each other, I'd imagine, have you?
Exactly. And you know, when I was listening to Pauline earlier, Pauline's always at the Cat Laughs. So I'll meet her at least once a year, you know, but you normally run into her a couple of times a year is a thing. And Pauline is an injection of joy when you meet her. And that's exactly what I was thinking when I was listening to her earlier, going, just running into her at the Cat Laughs and having like a 10-minute conversation and you feel good for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And that's, but there's a million, you know, there's all those with just other comedians, but it was just Pauline when I was listening to her earlier in the show, I was thinking, God, I haven't seen Pauline in ages.
Yeah.
But that is, it's the community, and we do, there is that thing of you look out for each other. And the thing I love when you're at those festivals is you'll see the comedians in their 50s and 60s, the older comedians, chatting to the new comedians, and they're just chatting as friends. And it's like, because it's, we're all one, you know, the age thing isn't an issue, that, you know, it's all about, you know, it's all like you're gladiators, you've earned your respect or whatever.
And you've met, some of the titans of comedy, but at the moment you're more famous for the fact that, does your brother know Tony Holohan? Is that it?
my brother went to school with Tony Holohan.
Right.
Yeah, no, it was an awkward conversation I had with someone when they were talking about, oh, like, how would you know? And I was like, oh, yeah, I gigged with Michael McIntyre years ago, but before he was famous, and John Bishop and Kevin, you know, they go, oh, yeah. And then I just mentioned, oh, Tony Holohan, but to change subject. And I went, oh, yeah, he went to school with my brother. You know Tony Holohan. It was like, what? It's like, oh, I went to school with the Beatles or something. It was that level of... And I genuinely... up until last year, he could have walked past me in the street and I wouldn't have recognised him. You know, I hadn't seen him since he was about 16 and I was about 10 or 11.
Yeah.
But it's funny now. My the thing is, if you want to be famous, my advice is go to medical school.
All the big names are doctors. You know,
I'd say he's gone mad that, you know, Dancing with the Stars is gone, because he'd have been a shoo-in, like, you know.
And what about, did you get the COVID? The COVID?
No, I didn't get it. I didn't get it, you know. Oh, I had no connections. I didn't get it myself now, Ray. I missed out, you know.
Right. Did anybody get it?
I know people who've got it, you know. It's not a myth now. It's a genuine thing. I find it funny when you see, I watch some of the American late night stuff, and you see the Republican politicians that are correcting Anthony Fauci, Dr. Fauci, on what he, you know, the American equivalent of Tony Holohan. And you go like, no, you're wrong. And I go like, can we not just listen to the experts for one thing?
it's very sad. And if it wasn't so serious, it'd be very funny. Comedy Carnival, that's Carnival. RoisinDove.net if you want to be entertained tonight with Carl and the rest of them. And what time's the start at, Carl?
It starts, we started, there's a VIP ticket, but the show starts at 8 o'clock.
Right,
and we go on, and it's a packed lineup tonight. It's like it's like a Live at the Apollo show tonight, but with me as well.
Right, at some stage in the future, Carl Spain, we'll see you in the flesh, so to speak, and
we will. I'm going to Live at the Apollo with Tony Holohan.
Good luck. See you. Good luck tonight.
Thanks,
see you. Bye. Cheers. Bye. Bye. From Carl Spain, between Limerick and Galway, to Brian Kennedy. Somewhere in the middle of Dublin City. Hello, Brian.
Good afternoon. I love Carl Spain, can I just tell you? Yes. I do. He's a very funny man.
Listen, the reviews are in from your first performance, Brian. Done, Brian Kennedy. There's only a handful of vocalists who can sing live and sound just as good as their recordings. Oh, and Brian is one of them. Great to hear Brian Kennedy on the programme. Such good form. I was listening to his Joni Mitchell tribute album this morning. Oh, yes. So beautiful. A must for Joni fans, says Pat.
Very much. And wow, thanks so much.
Please give a big hello to Brian Kennedy. I'm a vaccinator at the racecourse in Galway. I brought my daughter to her first concert. She was 12 at the time, to Brian Kennedy in the Radisson in Galway. We were there early, so we were seated in the front row. Brian was totally incredible. What a voice. Brian came down after the show to chat to Amelia, my daughter. Thank you for the music. Says,
oh, and Amelia, of course, is a beautiful Joni Mitchell song. There you go. Full circle.
There you go. I didn't know that. Wow. That's Brian and Janet Haynes, H-A-Y-N-E-S.
Nice to see and hear you. I'll be in Galway tomorrow.
Okay,
you know?
so you're singing.
I'm going to sing. Yeah. I thought I would do a song that's a wee bit of an earworm, and hopefully tomorrow morning you might be cursing me because you can't get the tune out of your head. Okay. Ray, it goes like this. There is nothing like a Sunday morning, children playing in the church, bells ringing, and just staring at the architecture. There is nothing like a Sunday morning. How did I get to be that guy? The one who's content to just get by. Oh, where did the feeling go? Sometimes you just never know. Here we go. There ain't nothing like a Sunday morning, children playing and the church bells ringing. I'm just staring at the architecture. There ain't nothing like a Sunday morning. Maybe I should leave it all behind, or wait for the stars to realign. Oh, I could stay or go, but sometimes it's just enough to know. There ain't nothing like a Sunday morning, children playing and the church bells ringing. I'm just staring at the architecture. There ain't nothing like a Sunday. There ain't nothing like a Sunday morning, children playing and the church bells ringing. I'm just staring at the architecture. There ain't nothing like a Sunday morning. Sunday morning. And we're live on the Radar's show.
You're blessed with a beautiful voice, Brian Kennedy. That was lovely.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, yes. Watch out for Brian's live shows on Facebook, Brian Kennedy Facebook. And Brian, thank you so much. That sounded
my
delicious.
My pleasure, Ray.
Good luck. See you. Bye.
Thanks
bye.
To your team.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thanks to Niamh, who's there.
She's right here.
Yeah. Thanks, Niamh. Thanks to Fiona upstairs and David and Neil, who produced today, and Sheila on sound. And Emily, who's the queen of the telecommunications on the show, who's done amazing work over the last number of months getting people up on air. That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah are on the way. We are back on Monday. Well, Brenda's back on Monday. I'll talk to you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Whatever you do, do it safely.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.